When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I just lost my hand. Tony Ortiz came in to shake my hand, wish me a Merry Christmas. He's got the biggest hands ever. And the biggest heart ever. Tony's a great guy. Love Tony Ortiz. Welcome back to the Carson Anderson program. Gator and Kang with you today. Doug will be back some point next week. He's gone through the new year. I think we come together, all of us, back on the show on January 2nd, I believe, is the date. But this is what happens this time of the year. I know I was out for almost 2 weeks here, but back, and now Doug's got a little bit of time off. But look forward to talking. We'll talk to him, actually, on New Year's Eve. Michigan will be playing the bowl game against Alabama, so we'll talk. We're on the air for an hour that day before the game starts, and you'll hear the game right here on 97.1 The Ticket. But get an update on what's going on, because I'm curious to see what team Michigan's going to be able to actually field with all these players declaring their intentions of entering the NFL draft. It's not just the portal guys that are going to be out, but are the guys that are entering the draft? I can't imagine they're playing, and they just had another one pronounced yesterday. That was Josiah Stewart, the edge rusher, who had a pretty good season this year. I think 8.5 sacks, up from 5.5 the previous season. He was a hell of an edge rusher for Michigan this season. A little bit undersized, but he's got talent. It's like 6'1", 245 or so. Really, really good, and then you got the other two guys in the defensive line, Graham and Grant, that have declared for the draft. And there's Will Johnson declaring for the draft. If all four of those guys aren't playing, and that's just four off the top of my head, that doesn't represent them well in terms of being competitive against Alabama. And Alabama seems like they've got a lot of guys that are playing in the game. So we'll see. But we'll hear from Doug on New Year's Eve. Let's get back to the phones. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to text as well. We started the show talking about the Red Wings and the Pistons, and also mentioning that the Lions, all three teams, have 13 wins at this point, which we think might be some kind of scoreigami. Ken, you brought that up, and I think it's brilliant, because we talked about the Pistons and Red Wings both have 13. We forgot, oh, so do the Lions. And now Stoney's on it, right?
Yeah, you know Stoney's a stat guy. They had the stat of the day because of Stoney. Yeah. So he, I guess he texted his peeps and or tweeted them and trying to find out if this has ever happened, like not just in Michigan or Detroit, just ever. And of course we know this is the first time the Lions have won 13 games. So for us to have this 13-13-13 would be the first, it is the first time. But it also probably means your hockey team and basketball team are bad. Right? If at some point you have the same amount of wins unless it's really early in the season, so... Yeah, I guess Stoney's on it. We'll find out if any other franchise or major city has had the same amount of wins between the three professional teams at the same time during the year.
I think it's fascinating stat, and you look at it, and it's also sad because the Red Wings are
exactly, yeah,
are where they're at. You know, at this point last year, I think they had several more wins. The outlook was much brighter. They would go on a nice run. And around this time, they acquired Patrick Kane. And I think right when they got Kane, they had a rough patch, and then they started clicking. In the new year, they started to click, and they were playing so much better and got on a roll, and then got off that roll and was rocky to finish up, and they lose out on a technicality and a tiebreaker rules of making the playoffs. and that was brutal. The Pistons this time last year had like three wins. It was three or four wins. They were pathetic, absolutely pathetic. Well, not pathetic last night. They got a road win at Los Angeles where LeBron was playing for the Lakers. LeBron did have a triple-double. So it's a good win. And their second win in a row. So Doug's got an opportunity with his, now it's an annual, it's a two-year-in-a-row bet now where he thinks the Pistons won three games in a row. They didn't do it last year. He's doubling down and going with it again this year. We're both rooting for him, hoping he gets it. And it looks like they're in good shape now. They've got two of the three out of the way here. Let's see if they can get the third. But they've got 13 wins. But the Red Wings last night, they just weren't even competitive. The whole first period, they were playing defense. They don't have enough scoring on this team, which we knew was going to be an issue this year compared to last year because that they had either traded away or let guys walk in free agency to the tune of like 75 goals or whatever it was last year. And knew that was going to be an issue. But they tried to counter that, signed Tarasenko, signed Gustafson, signed Tyler Mott, signed a bunch of guys, and try to shore up the defensive side of it. So if we weren't going to score as many, don't give up as many. And bring in Cam Talbot. And promote some of the younger players. Johansson's getting a chance to play a little bit, but not as much as I thought he was going to be playing, but they know best based on practice, I guess, of who should be playing and getting how much time they should be getting. But with the Red Wings, it's so damn disappointing because we as fans go through it last year hoping they were going to make the playoffs. It didn't happen. You thought they're building towards something. Let's take these steps forward, and it hasn't been the case this year. And when you get shut out last night, 4-0, you've lost 9 of your last 12 games. There's no question the coach should be on the hot seat, but there's also maybe no question that the general manager has to start being brought into question too, and Steve Yzerman. I'm not saying he's on the same level as Derek Lalonde, but you're watching this now like, okay, it's your move. Something has to happen. There's got to be a shakeup somewhere, whether it's maybe they need to just fire the coach and go with an interim. Do they need to make some moves with the personnel and trade some players and try to either get players back or higher end draft picks back? But they're at the point, King, where it looks like something desperate has to happen.
Well, you may not be on that same level with Steve Yzerman, but I know there are fans out there that have Yzerman on the same level, if not hotter than Lalonde. Like, if you're in a car right now, and Steve Yzerman's in the driver's seat, and Derek Lalonde's in the passenger seat, and they've got the seat warmer buttons, right? And so you can adjust.
Levels.
Yeah, you can adjust the driver and the passenger. There's two different buttons here. The three levels, okay, of heat on the seat warmers. What's Lalonde at for you as the passenger seat?
Three.
Okay, he's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Yzerman's in the driver's seat with the steering wheel. What's his seat level? What's his warmer level here on his seat?
Well, my butt's getting a little cold. I might need to hit the button again to get it to two.
So, yeah, for you, they're separate. Yzerman's not as hot as Lalonde, but some it's vice versa. Some it's the same, but there's no question about it. They're warm, right? No one's sitting cool and pretty here. And so, yeah, you look at there's no fire on the ice, it seems like, but then you're like, well, who put these players on the ice?
Well, I mean, he's the architect of the team. Now, when you start, doling out pieces of the pie of blame, you've got Yzerman, you've got Lalonde, you've got the players themselves, and you got a little residual Ken Holland still. It's not much Ken Holland anymore. I think we can, we're going to have to get over the fact that he just didn't draft well or didn't have the opportunity to draft well in some cases, but in other cases, he just missed on players that they took, were players taken afterwards, end up being pretty good players. But there was a lot of bad luck with the draft lottery when it comes to it with this team. But Steve Yzerman came out of it pretty good to start. When he drafted Mo Sider, a lot of people were looking sideways going, what the hell is that pick? It's been a great pick. Taking Lucas Raymond was a good pick. But after those two, we got a little bit of Edvinson. Now Edvinson's hurt. I like Edvinson a lot. I think he's going to be an excellent defenseman. Be three pretty good picks. But we're still waiting. We're waiting on, is Marco Kasper going to emerge as this, a top two line guy, or is he, just going to be relegated to checking lines or third and fourth lines? we haven't seen some of the young guys playing in the Swedish league that they just drafted. You know, Danielson, who they drafted a couple of years ago, he's playing in Grand Rapids, and he's had his ups and downs, and he's going to have to mature as a player physically, as well as just as a player. But it feels like they're so far away because none of those guys are up. Sandin Pelikka isn't up. Brancek Nygaard is not up yet. Danielson's not up yet. Sebastian Kosa, Seabass, the goaltender, he got half a game to showcase what he's got. Even though he was up for three or four games, he only got a chance to play because they yanked the goaltender halfway through. And he ends up getting a shootout win and then gets sent back down to Grand Rapids. They've got Trey Augustine in the pipeline. He's the goaltender for Michigan State, number one team in the country. And Augustine is outstanding as a netminder. I feel pretty good about that. But again, none of these guys are here now. It doesn't help us as fans looking at this team right now that has only 13 wins in 34 games. It's brutal. 248-539-9797. Paul, Neil, hang on. You guys are going to be first up as we continue here on 97.1, The Ticket. I do love Christmas time. I love the Christmas tree scented candle more so than the cinnamon scented candle. I love snow on the ground to look at during Christmas, not to drive through, but to look at, and it doesn't look like, I'm hanging on to it, hoping the snow can hang on through Christmas night. That would make me happy, though I don't know if it's going to happen, but that would be fantastic if it did. I got all my shopping done. We got a Christmas shopping question we're going to get to coming up at 11:45. I imagine a lot of people out frantically driving right now trying to figure things out. I guess there was an Amazon strike in certain places that has really kind of wreaked havoc on delivery with stuff that now deliveries are going to come in after the new year for a lot of people, which is unfortunate. But that's kind of what can happen. There's a little bit of leverage they're going to go with.
Well, that's always the chance you take when you try to get things delivered in general. And then if you, I don't know what the exact deadline was, but there's always that deadline where you're like, hey, if you don't order it by this date, it's going to be sketch if it gets there before Christmas Day, even if they say delivered by Christmas Day. Cause you never know logistics, what's going to happen. And obviously, we've passed that point now, and you've got to go get it yourself. Yeah, the old-fashioned way, Gator. Got to go to the store and pick it up yourself physically and bring it home and wrap
it. That's me. Or throw it in a gift bag.
Yeah.
That's definitely me. Gift bag, some tissue paper on top.
Yep.
Easiest thing ever. I did get something. I got hit up for some Girl Scout cookies recently.
Again, are they still doing that? Or
I got an email like a week ago, and I replied right away. I said, sure, I'll be all about this, and bought like five boxes of Girl Scout cookies, and immediately went to the tracker. Said it'll be there within 3 and 20 days or something like that.
Okay. 3 and 20?
Yeah, I'm like, whatever. But you get teased because like the initial email I got to track it, it's already been shipped to like a station to be sent out. But it hasn't been sent out. And then yesterday I got something that said, yes, it's being it's on the move. I'm like, okay, well, it should be here any day now. Not necessarily. So I don't know when I'm going to be able to get those Girl Scout cookies. I'm hoping it's today, but we'll see. 248-539-9797. Paul is in Novi. Paul, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Paul.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. Happy holidays to you guys.
Same to you. Thank you.
I got three quick things if we have time. First of all, huge shout out, Go Green, Adam Nightingale. How awesome of a job Is that guy doing up in East Lansing? Our number one ranked Spartans right now, by the way. How about that?
Yeah, they've been playing great. I love watching the games against Minnesota at Minnesota.
I was
watching sweep.
Third period was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, great goaltending and just great timely goals too.
Trey Augustine, you guys will see him. We'll see him over the Christmas holidays. The Canadian equivalent of March Madness, they call it the World Junior Championship. It's some fantastic hockey.
Yeah, it's always great.
Tournament. Great, great hockey. First thing up, Hockey Town deserves better, guys. Like, this is just bad. Like, the place is sold out. The atmosphere is always fantastic. 13 wins at Christmas time. Unacceptable. Off-season, Gator, you made a great point. The only thing that Steve really hit on in the offseason was Cam. If Cam hadn't come to town, it'd be even worse, wouldn't
Can't
it?
Can't tell, but the goaltender. And, yeah, he's played well. Yeah. And I thought he would. I thought he'd fit in nicely and didn't know who his running mate was going to be, whether it was, you know, Husso or Lyon, or maybe they were going to have a chance to Kosa at some point, but thought he would be the guy. Unfortunately, they haven't addressed enough. I mean, the Tarasenko has been so disappointing. And he's got four goals, and he's played 33 games. He only got four goals. You're counting the guy to score at least 20, probably closer to 25, and that hasn't happened.
Yep.
Patrick Kane only has five goals in 29 games.
Yep. You know, there was a team in Christmas of 2016 that were in last place in the NHL and fired their coach. And they may have brought up a goaltender from the AHL, and you know exactly who I'm talking about, right?
Talking about St. Louis when they went out and won the Stanley Cup?
Yep. And that coach now coaches in my team in Toronto. But, you know, and the guy that we could have used from that roster that was available in the offseason that we passed on was Kevin Shattenkirk. He was available. He's younger than Petrie by a couple of years. He was a captain in St. Louis. And I think he would have been a much better mentor to our young D-core than Jeff Petrie is. I mean, Petrie's been scratched a handful of games, healthy scratch. He's just not good. I mean, cute story. Orchard Lake, St. Mary's kid, Dan's kid. No, I think
and thanks for the call, Paul. At the time when they signed Petrie, it was funny enough. I got asked about Petrie as I was going in for my colonoscopy, literally being wheeled on the gurney. I was asked about Petrie, and after I gave my stance, the guy thought I was being soft on Petrie, and I'm not. I don't think he's been good for the Red Wings. I think when they got him at the time, when they acquired him, it made sense because veteran defenseman, good size, you know, he can help this team out in a transition. Now, was the contract too lengthy? Is it too much money to spend? You know, those are questions that as time has gone on, you can say, yeah, it's too lengthy and they're spending too much on him because they're not getting enough out of him. And there are times when you watch him play and he stands out for making mistakes. And there was a game a few games ago, the game that they won, where he stood out for good reasons because he had a couple of goals. But for me, it wasn't about the goals he scored. It was about the way he was playing defense. He looked great in that game. And the Red Wings looked resilient in that game. But the Red Wings as a whole, because I don't want this to be about Petrie, but as a whole, they can't put it consistently together. Whether it's period to period or game to game or even shift to shift, we're not seeing it. There's, at times, it's a lack of effort. And if it's a lack of effort, you blame the players and you blame the coach. If it's just bad luck, you just chalk it up to some bad luck that's happening. If it's because a player has lost his skill to be effective on the ice and he's still out there, then I guess that's more of a general manager thing because he's the one who acquired the players and you're the one that's in charge of rounding up this roster. So I'm a huge Steve Yzerman guy. I still back Steve Yzerman. I think there are positives to come. But when we talk about setting that seat warmer, and if I've got the seat warmer on level 3 of 3 for Derek Lalonde, I got to give some of the blame to Steve Yzerman, and that seat warmer is ready to press the button to go from 1 to 2, and it might already be on 2. So what does that mean? It just means that I'm starting to say, I'm getting very impatient, and where I know fans are already well past where I'm at. And that's fine. You can be there. I just, in general, I'm more patient. But I'm not happy with what I'm seeing. And part of what makes me unhappy, and I really started getting sour on it, was a couple weeks ago. And that was when Sebastian Cosa had the chance to play. They brought him up, and it was going to be for a few games. I thought for sure he was going to get at least one start in net. And they didn't. They didn't give him a start. They threw him in because, you know, the goaltender wasn't getting the job done in a game. They pulled the goalie and went, all right, Cosa, you're the backup. Go in there. And after giving up a couple goals that weren't his fault, he settled down, got his team, gave his team a chance to get back in the game. The Red Wings did. They tied it. They went to overtime, a scoreless overtime. They went to a shootout, and they won the shootout. Now, you win the shootout because you score goals and also because the goaltender keeps the puck out of the net. And Cosa looked good. But he didn't get a start. So that kind of it pissed me off a little bit. Because as a fan, you want the opportunity to see the young guys play when they're brought up. And we're not seeing that. Johansson has not played much at all. He's played in 17 games, Albert Johansson. They had brought up on an emergency basis, they brought up Wallander last night, but he didn't play. And, you know, as a fan, again, it bothers me because if you've got the young guys and you've got a bad team, play the young guys. Let's see what they got. Because it's 34 games now. It's different if it's like 20 games in, right? You're not even a quarter of the way through the season. Here we go. But at 34 games, it's different. It's a much bigger percentage of games played. My rough math would tell me it's probably about 40%. I don't know. I'd have to double check that. But it seems like this is a legitimate number of games where we can start making judgments on this team and say something's got to happen. Other teams are very quick to react when things go south. And in the NHL, it feels like more than any other sport, coaches get fired quickly. We've seen coaches fired when they were in first place in the NHL. That's happened, and it's happened recently. But the Red Wings, whether it was Ken Holland or it's now Steve Yzerman, been very patient with the coaching, and you know, shaking things up in the middle of the season doesn't seem like it's their MO. And yet, with 13 wins through 34 games, at some point, something has to happen. What's the move you want to see happen with this team? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket.
Gator, do you know who this is?
I do. Somewhere Stoney is getting all excited.
Okay. Yeah, he was very excited when he was filling in for you.
Yeah.
And this came on. He's like, oh, it's the boss. You know, whatever. There was a bounce back music of John Lennon singing.
So this is Christmas.
Exactly.
What have you done?
Yeah. That's a good impression there. I like that.
The Yoko Ono
right,
background.
Exactly. So. Stoney goes to Doug. He goes, this is another great one. And Doug goes, who is this? I don't know who this is. And Stoney was like, what? Like, and then Doug was dead serious, of course.
You didn't know it was John Lennon?
No.
Okay.
I'm not even sure. I think he did say he knows who John Lennon is.
Oh, come on.
But he did.
Like, I know Doug's not like the most savvy when it comes to like pop culture and stuff like that. But he knows something. He knows music, some of
it. So, I think he did know John Lennon, but he didn't know that was John Lennon singing it. But I thought that was kind of crazy. But whatever. It's Doug.
It is. That is definitely. I'd love to see Stoney's reaction.
So,
like Stoney just lost 30 points of respect for Doug when that happened.
Yes. And then, you know, another Christmas song came on and, you know, Doug, how he is. He's like, is this John Lennon? No, this is.
Is this Denzel Washington?
No. It's Adele, Doug.
It's a Dell. Do we have a Dell Christmas?
I don't know.
Anything about Mariah Carey?
This is her time of year, man. I think she's like going on 20 years straight of the number one song during Christmas.
I thought
she's
I
the queen.
Saw. Maybe
she's the queen.
Google it and find the actual answer.
I don't care if you like it or not. That song, every Christmas, number one every year, no matter what. Just accept it.
Yeah. So I just Googled this. And 20 hours ago, a story came up on People.com. According to Forbes, Mariah Carey earns about $2.5 million in annual royalties based on Christmas.
Dude, it's insane. It's like the Bobby Bonilla of contracts. Like, she's never going to stop getting paid for this.
Right. And, you know, God bless her. She's got a great voice. She's had a great career.
That sounds good, just, man.
Yeah.
I know you're surprised sick of it, but it's...
Yeah, I think everybody gets sick of stuff after a while, you know? Like, do I get sick of the Bruce Springsteen one? Yeah. Do I like the Little Drummer Boy? No, I don't like that. That Little Drummer Boy is probably my least favorite Christmas song of all time. It's just for me. It's you know, if you like it, that's fine. Just like if you like the Bruce version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, that's fine. Yeah, not my favorites. Not my favorites. I think I like the instrumentals more than I do the actual songs. But that's, yeah, to each their own. To each their own. I don't think we're having we throw out some Trans-Siberian Orchestra every once in a while, a little TSO. That's interesting. 248-539-9797, a telephone number. Neil is next up here in Farmington Hills. Neil, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket.
Hi, Gator. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Sure.
Longtime Red Wings fan. Unlike many, I wasn't so confident the Wings were going to make playoffs this year before the season started because I didn't think their goaltending was good enough to do it, and I wasn't overly enamored with their coach, especially the way he commented at the end of last season, and you might recall this, that he was satisfied, even though the Wings didn't get in the playoffs, that they had overachieved, he felt. And I'm thinking, well, if they overachieved, what were you expecting them to do? Did you want to make the playoffs or what? But that's aside from what I really wanted to talk about. The Wings are very tough to watch, and I think all the fans would agree. It's been that way pretty much the whole year. They get outplayed. They don't do much in the other team's end. And I've been to Grand Rapids, and I've seen the Griffins, and I can definitely say there's at least two or three guys down there that are better than some of the bottom six guys that the Red Wings have. And then lastly, with Kosa, who you spent a lot of time talking about, I thought I was listening to myself talk when you were making the comments about him. And he did so good in that shootout in the game that he played and won. How do you not play him in a game before you send him back to Grand Rapids?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I was stunned with that was the way that it worked out, Neil, and thanks for the call. But, you know, that's over with. Will he get another opportunity this year? I suppose he will. They have too many goaltenders as it is right now, and they got three guys. So it's just a numbers game. At some point, they'll make a decision. And we'll see that. And we mentioned they have Trey Augustine in the pipeline as well, who's playing at Michigan State right now, that, you know, maybe he joins this, plays in the minors next year with an opportunity to ascend. But with Grand Rapids, you know, they're off to this great start as a team, but it's not like Grand Rapids has a bunch of goal scorers. So what the Red Wings need is goal scoring, right? Their leading goal scorer has 12. Sheldon Dries. Has 16 points in 26 games and has 12 goals. Joe Snively is second on the team with 10 goals in 29 games. The leading point getter is Dominic Schein with 22 points in 29 games. None of these guys are even close to point-a-game action. And they're not lighting the lamp with any kind of great consistency. The names we hear about, the big draft choices they've had that you want to see and hear about, Nate Danielson, he's got 16 points in 29 games, but only 3 goals. You know, Tuomisto, the defenseman, has got 12 points in 25 games. That's not bad, but he's minus 6 on his plus minus, and he's playing on a good team. That doesn't look so great. Elmer Soderblom, remember he got his chance a couple years ago? Big guy, 6'7", 6'8", whatever he is. He's got 2 goals in 29 games. So even though that team is playing really well, maybe it's just the style of play that they're doing. They're playing team hockey, getting a different guy every game that steps up, but defensively they're sound and they get great goaltending. And they have gotten great goaltending. Kosa's got a 2.31 goals against average and a .919 save percentage. Jack Campbell, not that Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell has a 2.37 goals against average and a .917 save percentage. So they've gotten pretty good goaltending, and Ville Husso has played there. He's played in 6 games. He's got a .914 save percentage and a .239 goals against average. So their top 3 goalies are all basically doing the same thing. they're playing well. But offensively, there's not a ton there with Grand Rapids that you're seeing where guys like, if they had a guy that had like 40 points through 29 games, I would imagine they would have been called up. But they don't have that guy. And a guy like that would be, you know, you bring that guy up to play in like the second line. Well, they don't have that guy, so he's not going on the second line. So anybody they bring up is going to be put on the third or fourth line. And it's just, it's not an attractive product right now. So what do you do? 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Justin is next up from Livonia. Justin, welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering, what are we doing with Derek Lone still as a coach? Like, what is it? He adds nothing. He adds literally nothing. There's no identity to this team. There's nothing that he does. And I don't mean to, bring up Dan Campbell or even A.J. Hinch, but, what – he adds literally nothing to this team. I have no idea why he's still the coach. I have no idea why he was even brought back this year. He adds nothing. And you're starting to hear it from the players.
I'll tell you what I think it was, and thanks for the call. What I think it was initially is that this is a guy who came from an organization in Tampa that Steve Yzerman came from, so he knows. And he has a good relationship with John Cooper, the coach, so they kind of knew what they were getting with him. What they were getting with him is a guy who's very even keel. Doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. He's a personable guy. If you get a chance to talk to him, he's very personable. He's a great guy. But won't let things bother him, won't let things linger, keeps things even keel. And maybe that's what they needed initially. But after a while, it wears out. In the NHL coaching circles, you don't see many coaches that stick around on a team for like 6-7 years and runs beyond that. It almost seems the guys always wear out their welcome at some point, whether it was Mike Babcock or Gerard Gallant or Joel Quenneville. You know, look at all these guys. Tortorella, all these coaches who have been around forever, they've been coaching all over the place. And with Lalonde, what are they getting out of him right now? I don't know. It's hard to find anything tangible at this point because the team isn't playing well. The penalty kill's a disaster. Offensively, they're not getting goals. Power play is okay, but they're not getting the most out of their players. Dylan Larkin isn't scoring. It looks like he's losing his cool on the ice on a nightly basis. Right now, the player that they have is Lucas Raymond. 33 points in 34 games. He's got 13 goals, and much of that has come in the last 20 games. He's got almost all of his goals in the last 20 games. But he's got no running mate right now. DeBrincat's been a disappointment. Patrick Kane has been a big disappointment this year, but he's starting to get back on track a little bit. I'm not sure how much longer.
Yeah, but
they're going to be patient.
People can yell at Lalonde and the players, and is he getting enough out of the players? Are the players good enough? They're not going to fire themselves, people. So you got to go a little bit higher. Go ahead and say it. Don't be scared. Steve Yzerman can fire Lalonde at any time, right?
Yeah.
He's the one who put together the team as well. And I'm not saying I want Steve Yzerman fired, but that's who I'm looking at if I want to point blame at this point. Lalonde is not going to go out there and be like, guys, you know what? I'm firing myself. I'm not bringing anything to the table.
I get the feeling that something's afoot real soon. I mean, you can't – 9 of your last 12 you've lost. And that's a long stretch. And 34 games into the season, you had a stretch like that already – That's not good. And it's not like last night gives you any hope. Like, oh, they just missed last night. No, they got shut out 4-0. They had 21 shots in the whole game. They played defensive hockey for like 70% of the game. And then when they had an opportunity on a power play, it gets wiped out right away because Dylan Larkin skates into the goaltender. Now they've got some time off. They don't play again until Friday. So what does that mean? Does that mean that they're going to, it would now be a good time to change coaches because you can get another interim coach here right away to go for the transition? I can't imagine you're hiring somebody long term at this point, but maybe if you got somebody in mind, there are certainly guys available if you wanted to do something like that. Or do you allow this week to regroup and see what they could do on Friday night and going into, you know, what would be the All-Star break at some point? 248-539-9797. This is 97.1, The Ticket. Look, I know it's hard to find great service. So when you find it, you want to let people know about it. And I'm letting you know about Precision Garage Door. They're amazing. Years ago, I was having issues with my garage doors. I called them up. They came out and took a look at things and said, yeah, well, we need to do some maintenance here. You got to lube up the joints, so to speak, is what they were doing in the parts of the metal areas that needed it, right? Because you got all these moving parts and temperature really wreaks havoc on things like that. But when you've got springs and rollers and moving parts, they can break when the temperature drops. You want to make sure that they are well taken care of. And then point came when I needed new garage doors. Who did I call? Precision. They came out, gave me a bunch of options to look through. They talked me through the whole process, Daryl and his team. They took care of me right away. They were awesome. Give them a call today, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or you can visit their website at precisiondoormi.com.
This John Lennon?
I think it's a different John. Is this Johnny Mathis?
No.
Who is it?
I thought Mackie you knew, Cole? Man. Yeah, of course. Cole? Come on, man.
Sorry,
come on.
I got it a second try.
Yeah, what was the third guess? Adele?
Denzel Washington. No, I'm not Doug. I wouldn't have done that. That would have been Doug's first guess.
Yeah, it would have been. Who played him in his buy-up? Denzel Washington, then.
Denzel Washington. Yeah, or not. Let's go to these calls real quick. Ron is in Southgate. Welcome to 97 on the Ticket. Hey, Ron.
Gator, thanks for the call, buddy, and happy holidays to you, pal.
Same to you. Thank you.
Gator, you are 1,000,000% right about this farm club. And the problem with this team, and I just don't get it, and when you look at this team, the way it plays, they have nobody to go to the corners. We have no size. You've got a bunch of players on this team that are 5'10", 5'11", you know, and there's nobody to bang in those corners. When you got guys like Kane and Tarasenko, they're supposed to be in, you know, at the slot, right? The guy goes in the corner, digs the puck out, throws the puck out there, shoot, right? We don't do none of that. And as far as Lalonde goes, I don't disagree with getting rid of him. But you get rid of him, you got to make the caveat that this wasn't his fault. He didn't put this together. I mean, look at these free agents that Stevie has brought in here. I mean, Jesus, this is terrible. Would you agree with any of that?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of it, actually. I mean, size-wise, look, we've always heard from day one of being a Red Wing fan, you hear that the team's not big enough, team's not gritty enough. But with this team, I'll agree with it because they have one forward who's taller than 6'1", and that's Rasmussen. Who does play with some of that grit. I like Rasmussen a lot, but that's one guy, and he's kind of a role player. He's not one of the top six forwards, and your top six forwards are all smaller guys that need to put the puck in the net more to justify not having big guys out there.
Look, let's go get this kid from Boston, this Frederick kid, and then I've been chirping for this one guy, the guy that plays for Montreal, that Arbor Hijack. Let's put him on that ice out there a little bit, and that'll stop people taking cheap shots at the small guys, right?
Well, I guess, and thanks for the call, Ron. I don't worry too much about cheap shots at the small guys. They can police that themselves. What I worry about is they're not getting the puck in the net. They don't have the scoring. And even if you look at, you know, what they have, I mentioned about what they have at Grand Rapids, but it's just like looking at the prospects overall, guys they've drafted. You're not seeing, they have one player in the entire organization that is averaging more than a point a game. And he's playing in the Western Hockey League. That's Emmett Finney, who's a forward, who has 46 points in 29 games. But he's not even playing at Grand Rapids yet. So, you know, that's would be the next step for him at probably next year. So they don't have goal scorers in their system. Not a ton of them anyway. They're playing a Swedish elite league but it's just not enough at this point. And yeah, Steve Yzerman's going to take some shots right now. Pedro's in Port Huron. Pedro, welcome to 97 on the ticket.
So I may have missed some of this. I just tuned in, but who's more to blame here, Lalonde or Stevie Y? Because I'm not sure what coach could make this team better. I mean, I just feel like they have, what, three or four guys you'd consider and then a bunch of pieces, you know? And just like you said, like, we don't have anyone coming soon that's going to help save the day. The only guy that could maybe make a difference is that goalie. I can't remember his name, but then we decided to send him back down.
Yeah, Sebastian Cosa, yeah.
I guess I just don't – if his name wasn't Stevie Y, he would have been gone by now, right? So – What's the time frame, and how much more leash are you going to give him before?
Well, what would you do, Pedro? You would say enough is enough right now.
No, it's tough. I guess it depends how they finish this year. You know, if it's terrible and there's no development, there's no guys coming, maybe after the season. But you know, the problem is he's had the history of developing teams, right? So it's a finicky line. But you know, one more year max is what if they don't turn it around by then.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to find, and thanks for the call, Pedro. He's got to find his Kucherov, right? He's got to find his Victor Hedman. He's got to find the key players that they were able to find in Tampa that made that team as great as it was. And they had some other high-end talent they drafted really high or guys they traded for. But it's really about the guys you're able to find after the first round. And they just haven't been able to find those guys to step in and be that type of player. You know, right now, when we talk about the seat warmer, well, you know, we have three levels of the seat warmer, and how hot is that seat? Lalonde's on the hot seat with level three. And for me, I think I'm just getting ready to press the button for level two for Steve Yzerman. Now, what does that really mean? It means that, you know, I'm ready to see a change with the head coach. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they go ahead and make that move. But I also understand that if they do it, are they doing it for somebody that's an interim head coach? Or are they doing it for somebody that's going to be, you know, a coach they give a contract to, a multi-year deal? There are guys out there that they can go ahead and hire right now if they wanted to do that, and that would be interesting if they made that move. But with a general manager, I'm a little bit more patient because I know that I think he's been dealt a crappy hand when it comes to drafting because they've had some horrible luck with the draft lottery. In years they should have been drafting the top three, they weren't, and it's horrible. And you miss out on elite players. And they haven't been able to draft elite players. The best draft he had was the first one when he took Mo Sider. Sider's been great. Lucas Raymond has been great. But beyond that, we're just waiting. Jim is in Walled Lake. Welcome to 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Jim.
Good morning. I'm not sure if we know the answer to this question, but is Yzerman free to do what he wants to do? Because I saw a thing on Steve Spurrier a while back where he went from the college to the pro game, Redskins, I believe, and he was looking forward to it. He wanted to make his mark on the team, and he said, I found out real quick that I was told what I could and could not do.
Well, with Steve Spurrier, it's different because Steve Spurrier was a coach and not a general manager. Steve Yzerman is the general manager, and you know what's going to
be told by the owner.
Why would they restrict him? There's a salary cap in the NHL, so he's got a cap. He's got to manage. So you know, do it however you want. I can't imagine that Chris Ilitch is saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, you can't get this player because Chris Ilitch isn't getting involved with the salary cap."
Well, you want the change the coach? What difference in the salary is that going to cost him, the owner?
I don't think it costs him that much. I don't know what Lalonde's salary is, but I don't imagine it's all that much in the grand scheme of things, considering that it was a first-time head coach. So I don't think they're telling him, don't fire him yet because we got to pay him. No, they're one of the Ilitch family is one of the richest families in sports. I don't think that matters.
The stadium is pretty full every game, isn't it?
I don't know what the actual attendance is. It's decent. Again, it's not a money issue because you have a salary cap. You're able to manage that cap. So I don't see there'd be any restrictions on what Yzerman wants to do.
No, but if they make some changes, they're still not going to be able to sell many more seats.
Yeah, but they're still profitable business.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're not going to make much more money no matter what they do.
Well, they'll make more. Look, if the team wins, you make more money. That's easy. People buy the merch. Ask the Lions if they're making more money now because the team is winning. Okay, regardless of the fact that the NFL is just a money tree. The Lions are making tons of cash because the team is awesome. Why? Because everybody in town is buying a jersey or buying a hoodie or buying a hat. Everyone's doing something with the word grit. You know, that's easy money. And that stadium is packed. And they're able to charge more. And now they're able to charge a premium because the team's good. And the Red Wings, because the business model that the NHL has set forth, and it's all tied to revenues, it's a profitable business. I think what the NHL did when they restructured your...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Years ago was brilliant. So it's not about money with this. It's about how you spend the money, what players you bring in, what kind of contracts are you signing. And right now it looks rough. Steven, next up here, 97 on the ticket. Hey, Steven.
Hey, guys. Gator, excuse me. This is my favorite team in the world of all teams. Hockey, Red Wings, number one. I am so sick and tired with this trash product that they're putting out there. I can't even watch it anymore. It's so bad. We have 4, maybe 5 guys that I'd say, yeah, we can build around this. And what have we done? We put Jeff Petrie out there, Ben Sherrod out there. We got a bunch of scrubs out there. No wonder people aren't interested. People say this is Hockey Town. I'm saying Hockey Town. This is Trash Man Town. We got trash patches on the jersey. This ain't it. I'm sick and tired of it. Thank goodness we got the Lions to bring us some Christmas joy this year, and the Tigers went on a miraculous run.
What would you do?
I don't know if it's Eisenman.
This is your team. You say you're a big hockey guy. What would you do? What would you like to see done?
I'm selling off people, and we're rebuilding from the ground up. We got 4 or 5 guys. We're not getting rid of Raymond. We're not getting rid of Sider. We're not getting rid of Edvinson. We're not getting rid of Larkin. Maybe we can fetch something for Kat. His inconsistencies drive me absolutely nuts.
Yep.
Kane's gone after this year. We got a couple expiring contracts. We need to somewhat start over with the exception of those 4 or 5 guys I mentioned. We got 2 great goalies coming up in the pipeline that gives me a little bit of hope for the future. But I'm not sure we're going to be able to put the pieces around them in time to maximize where Larkin's at. How much better is Larkin going to get at this point in his career?
I hear what you're saying. And thanks for the call. If you're looking to sell off parts, what do they have to sell off? The guys you want to protect are the guys that are worth that you get something for. Are you going to get a whole lot for Alex DeBrincat? He's got a big contract, and he's not producing. You're going to get a whole lot for Patrick Kane? Probably not. But if you're just doing it for the sake of getting rid of the salary and then preparing yourself to have a big war chest for next year in free agency, I suppose you can try doing that. But moving guys like Petrie and others, I don't know if you're going to get anything for that. It's a tough position that they're in. It's a tough, and that's Steve Yzerman. It's his position. And when he ends up signing these guys, he's expecting more, and they haven't worked out. They've been bad contracts. And in some cases, just bad from the get-go rather than it eventually went bad. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. Same note of text. We come back. We want to talk about, this is the day. We're Christmas Eve, man. Stores are closing in like 5 hours, if that. Some are probably closing before that. Some might be open later on. I mean, you better get on the horn and get out there and get things done if you haven't already. We want to talk about the shopping season and how it's worked. Did you brave the malls over the weekend? Did you see any were there any Karen sightings? I want to hear the horror stories. I want to hear it all. Talk about it with you next year, 97.1, The Ticket.